Everybody, welcome to Two Off the First. It is March the 11th, 2024. I'm Ryan Balaji. Thanks for being here today. We got plenty to talk about over the course of the weekend. Obviously, we had a pretty interesting, albeit a blowout finish to the Arnold Palmer Invitational. We had a whole bunch of playoffs in different events around the world. I think four by my count. We'll go over some of those a little bit. Want to talk about, just touch on a little bit about Wyndham Clark's rules controversy. I'm pretty sure he should have been penalized. We'll come back to that. And then we'll talk a little bit about just kind of the week ahead, where things kind of seem to be in this weird moment for the PGA Tour, and try to kind of set the stage for what tomorrow should be a fascinating news conference, because PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan will give his kind of state of the tour, but typically he doesn't do it first thing Tuesday morning. So my anticipation is there will be something shared here. What that is, I don't know. But you don't usually lead with the commissioner on Tuesday of Players Week. It just doesn't work that way. So reading the tea leaves a little bit, I don't know what that is. But here we are. All right, so let's start with the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Scottie Scheffler won, made it look really easy in the end. He winds up winning on 15 under total, wins by five shots over Wyndham Clark, shoots a 66 in the final round, which was really impressive. And then you look at the rest of the scores throughout the day. I mean, the closest score to him was 68. That was Ben On. Nick Taylor shot a 71, moved up eight spots on the leaderboard. I mean, that tells you a little something. I think there was a 69 out there. Yeah, Jordan Spieth shot 69. Three rounds. In the 60s. There was 180. That was Sepp Straka in the final round. And Scottie Scheffler shot 66. That tells you how hard the course was playing. That tells you how well Scottie Scheffler played. Pretty remarkable version of Scottie Scheffler. And if you look at the data throughout the course of the season and look at his performance, from tee to green, Scottie Scheffler is far and away the best player on the PGA Tour. Has been for better part of 3 years. He is remarkable, incredible tee to green. And I do want to touch on some of the things he talked about in reference to that. We'll come back to that in a second. But everyone knows Scheffler's putting lags behind his capability tee to green. I don't think that's a secret. And this week, he went officially in play to a Spider Tour X mallet from TaylorMade. Now, he's used spiders in the past, different spiders at different tournaments. In the FedEx Cup playoffs last year, he used a mallet for two of the tournaments. And then he wound up going to this Logan Olson golf answer blade at the 2023 Hero World Challenge, so in December. And you know, Logan Olson made a big deal out of it. Oh, he's, you know, I'm so thrilled. We're working with Scottie and working so hard with it. Well, it didn't go well. I mean, I know Scottie Scheffler likes a blade. I like a blade. I like an answer style putter. But for him, that's probably not the best answer. And he knew it, but he had to find the right makeup for him in that putter. You know, the spider line uses a lot of different, they have a lot of different shapes or a lot of different versions of the same shape, but a lot of different iterations of it, I suppose. And the one that he's using, the Tour X, is meant to be more performing like a blade, but with the benefits, the MOI benefits, the weighting benefits of a mallet. It's a half inch longer than the putter he had been using, which is 35 inches. Most putters are either 33, 34, 35 inches in length. He went a little bit longer than that to 35 and a half. I mean, he is a taller guy, so I'm kind of surprised someone like him hasn't considered going to like a 35, 36 inch putter even over the years. But he went with a corded style grips, a little bit smaller of a grip so he could feel it, kind of interact with his hands a little bit more, feel his hands, even though he talks about the wristiness that he employed in his putting stroke to make solid contact to kind of compensate for a bad stroke. I do find that fascinating too, because he's been working with this guy, Phil Kenyon, who's a renowned putting instructor. He's been working with him since last summer. And he had talked about, Scheffler had talked about trying to get away from being so handsy, to make a quality stroke and not have to use your hand-eye coordination gift as a crutch, as a way to try to salvage putts, or if you feel like it's going bad, to kind of steer in a certain direction. But it got better throughout the course of the week. I mean, he was mediocre for the first two rounds. Third round, you could tell it was kind of starting to work, even though you could see frustration in each of those first three rounds. In the final round, 16 out of 16, 17 out of 17, I forget what the number was, from inside 15 feet. I mean, he didn't miss. And when Scottie Scheffler doesn't miss with a putter, the tournament is over. It is that simple. I mean, Shane Lowry, who finished in third, another great week for him, even though comes up short with a 54-hole chance again. But he said, in paraphrasing, basically, when Scottie plays like this, there aren't many people can keep up with him, and I don't think I am one of those people who can keep up with him. And that is the God's honest truth. If all Scottie Scheffler has to do to dominate the PGA Tour is play his tee to green game, which, again, is incredible, and not be bad at putting. In the final round, he was tops in strokes gained putting for the day. I mean, just not even close. He doesn't even need to be at that level to win. I mean, he won by five because he was better than everybody else on Sunday by big margins. But if he had putted better in rounds one and two, and you spread that out a little bit more, he still would have won this tournament by a ton. He is that good. And it takes tournaments like this, I think, it's his seventh PGA Tour win, for people to appreciate how good Scottie Scheffler is at golf. Because when it goes right, it looks ridiculous. It looks so much better than everyone else. And this Scottie Scheffler, this version of him, is what a lot of people hoped Rory McIlroy would develop into someday and eventually become a better putter, figure out how to putt consistently enough so that he could win more tournaments. So figure out how to be a better wedge player enough so that he could win more tournaments. And McIlroy is who he is. He's an incredible player, the most gifted player off the tee on the PGA Tour. He drove a green 365 yards in the air on, what was it, Saturday? The 10th green at Bay Hill had never been driven in the tournament. It played 401 yards on the scorecard, but it's a 365-yard shot through the air, and he put it on the green. That's crazy. That's insane. But his putting and his approach play are substandard and have long been substandard for a guy who hits so many wedges and so many short irons into greens. So now you've got Scottie Scheffler, who knows what his problem is. He knows what's wrong. He doesn't have to mess with anything he does right, and he doesn't. Just has to figure out this facet of the game well enough so that he can win. And he did here and won $4 million. Now he defends at Sawgrass, where he won $4.5 million last year. He does not have to putt nearly this well to win. He needs to play his tee to green game, which is extremely good. And it's still very, very good. It's going to be very good this week, I'm sure. And again, if he's just kind of in the 40s, 50s, even the 60s kind of in the field in terms of total strokes gained putting, that's good enough to win. That's good enough for him because he hits it so close so often. And even though he can make birdies by hitting it close, you don't really gain a lot of strokes when you make a 10-footer. You make an 8-footer is a 50-50 proposition. That's the 50-50 putt on the PGA Tour, at least historically, statistically. So it's a little bit different, right? When you're expected to take 1.5 strokes on an 8-footer and you make one, you gain a half a stroke. Well, if you hit it to 7 feet, it gets lower than that. So you don't gain the half stroke. You gain, 0.4 strokes, 0.3 strokes, whatever it is. So it gets, it doesn't behoove him to, it doesn't help his stats that he hits it so close. So if he can make some 15-footers, some 20-footers above like one, then he's got a chance to win. That's insane. That's insane. And I hope people can see a tournament like this and really appreciate what he is doing and understand that, yes, he's not, I get it, he's not Tiger. He's not going to be. That guy's not walking through the door. Well, he is, but very slowly and not very often. And it's a bummer that Tiger's not playing this week. So he kind of destroyed this idea that he had intended to play once every month in the second month of trying to play once every month. But which Scheffler can do from here is potentially go on an incredible run, maybe pick up another major or two this year. Again, if he plays this, it's not even a contest if he plays this way. The only person I think, there may be two or three people that can probably hang with him at this level. Maybe John Rahm at his best. McIlroy would have to do something remarkable. No one else, really. No, I mean, Brooks maybe. Yeah, when Brooks putts well, when he's making 12 and 15 footers, it's somewhat similar. It's pretty similar, I would say. But he doesn't do it week to week. He's not a guy like you can pencil him down for an incredible amount of strokes gained tee to green. Sometimes he just doesn't have it approach-wise or driver-wise, one or the other. And the putting is typically the variable for him. I think it's the variable for most of the best golfers ever to live is, do the putts go in? Because they're so superior. They're typically longer than everybody else or at least close, and they're the best iron player or close to the best iron player. And when you do those things really well, you give yourself a lot of chances. And that's why Scheffler gets so frustrated out there. You could see him, I think it was Friday or Saturday, where he was just yelling like that he's not happy. He can't believe he's not taking advantage of these chances. And then once they started going in, it became a walk in the park. So really cool to watch. No one has ever successfully defended the Players' Championship in all the time it's been at TPC Sawgrass. It started in 1982 there. So probably unlikely in the history of this tournament that Scheffler will defend. But if someone's going to do it successfully, don't you think it's this guy? He's just crazy good and crazy consistent. And that those are hard things to find. Crazy consistent especially. And he alluded to that after winning the tournament. Kind of asked about putting and what that kind of, how he, what he's most proud of about himself, and that he talked about the importance of consistency. He talked about it on Saturday too, the importance of having good course management, good decision making, and good distance control. And that was on display even late in the round when he put himself in a position on 16 on the par 5 where he could try to go for the green and he could potentially set up a big number, or he could just lay up to a wedge and then try to make birdie from there because he knew he had the tournament won. Did the smart thing, didn't do anything stupid, got to a wedge, wedged it to a 5 feet, made the putt, off we go, tournament's over. There's no drama, there's no worry. He talked about that on Saturday. I thought that was really interesting. And then again, kind of asked about it on Sunday after Rory McIlroy talked about how consistent he is. And Scheffler said, yeah, I try to be as consistent as possible out here. It's a difficult thing doing that week to week out here on tour. The golf courses are really tough. The competition is really tough. And I try to be as consistent as possible, bring the right attitude each week. So I'm definitely proud of the results over the last couple of years, how consistent I've been. And it's nice to get a win this week. And then there was a really good follow-up question about him not trying to be perfect on the greens, but just trying to be better. And then obviously that kind of improved over the course of the tournament. And the question was, in the past, maybe the course of the last year, have you found yourself trying to be perfect on the greens and that's what's led to aggravation or frustration? And Scheffler gave a wise answer. He said, I just think that's how it works across all aspects of the game. If you're trying to play perfect golf, it doesn't really work. There's no such thing. I think sometimes the perception from people on the outside, golf looks really easy when you watch it on TV. I mean, it really does. It does not look that hard. But then when you go out there and compete and play on the PGA Tour, it's pretty dang difficult. So I try to take the approach to all aspects of my game. And sometimes when things aren't going right, you try to be perfect. And at times in the last year or so, it's definitely been frustrating knowing that I can hole putts and win tournaments and not being able to do it at the clip that I would like to. So going into today, that was really one of the positives I took from the first round was I had a good attitude. Now, that changed over the course of the tournament. I held my lines well, and it's just a matter of continuing to stick to what we're doing and just wait for results to come and not force them. Putting is such a difficult thing because you can't force it. Like, I can hit a really good 9-iron from the middle of the fairway, and every now and then I'll get gusted, and it won't turn out well. but worst case, it's not going to be very far from the hole. But putting, I could hit a really good putt from 15 feet, and if it lips out, it's the same thing as me hitting a terrible putt a foot short and just tapping it in. So it's a tough thing to quantify when you're looking at the results. So that's why I try to focus more on the process and what I'm doing over the ball versus any sort of results-based thinking. And there's a very interesting terminology there, results-based thinking versus process-based thinking. And there's kind of mental cues, mental approach to sports of trust, you know, the old 76ers, trust the process. And there is a value to doing the same thing. There is a value to knowing you're doing the right things and to just keep doing them. Not trying to change anything. You know you're doing the right things. It just might not be working right now. And Scheffler knows from tee to green, he's doing the right things. Just those are fine. Nothing needs to change. The only thing he has to concern himself with is whether the ball goes in the hole with a putter in his hand. And he's right. In terms of absolute results, yes, a 15-footer can be two-putt a whole lot of ways. And on the scale of close and good putt to very bad and still a two-putt, those things can happen. But you can also get a better handle with more finite data on where you're missing, how you're missing, why you're missing, and get better at it. And that's hard to do in the element of a golf tournament. But working with someone like Phil Kenyon hopefully is pushing him toward getting more confident in the process and what he has in his hand. And again, not having to rely on his hands, just being able to make a quality stroke and let the stroke do the work. Don't feel like the stroke's not good enough and you have to augment it at some step in the process. And if he can continue to do this, this year is over. If it looks any even half as good as this, the year is over for everybody else. He's going to win a lot of tournaments, a lot of money, and it's frankly going to be a couple of laughers like this one. So it's very exciting to watch someone play like this. And I know I railed in some last year about blowouts and tournaments being decided with six holes left to go. And you knew it was over and tournaments finishing early. This one finished 15 minutes early. All of those types of things. I get it. But I will allow an exception for dominant, near-perfect golf like this. And again, knowing perfect doesn't exist. This was incredible. And hopefully some people got to appreciate it and watch it. I know the PGA Tour's ratings are in the toilet. I only saw the Thursday rating. It's down 30% basically compared to last year. And part of that has to do, I think, with people kind of going back to the office. But part of it has, a lot of it has to do with people just kind of fed up with golf. And maybe Scheffler can kind of be a guy people can rally around if he plays this kind of level of golf for a significant period, especially in the majors, and they can be fascinated by this guy. I think they were in 2022, and then it's a hard act to follow in 2023. Maybe he's back on that train again. And if he is, he's going to become a multi-time major champion this year. No doubt about that in my mind. All right. I want to take a quick moment between topics to tell you about our friends at Swannies. Check them out at swannies.co. Use the promo code GolfNewsNet25 to save 25% off your first order. They've got a couple of different capsules out right now, which I really like this approach of having different thematic releases with some of their best-known products, including their hoodies with the quarter zip. Well, it's really a quarter zip with a hoodie attached, but they've got great hoodies and pullovers. The polos look great this year. They're really popping on the prints, especially the springtime stuff. It looks great. Check them out at swannies.co. Get yours today. Use that promo code GolfNewsNet25 to save some money. Now, we talked about Wyndham Clark finishing second, solo second in the end. However, in the third round, Wyndham Clark found himself in some pretty serious hot water, at least with observers of golf, because it did look like Wyndham Clark put hit on the 18, his tee shot found the rough, right? And he put his club behind the ball, which a lot of players do this. They put the club head behind the ball and they kind of like try to simulate, act like they're simulating the line. They're not simulating the line. They are trying to mat down grass. They do this. They have been taught to do this. They've done this their entire lives. It is patently against the rules of golf. You cannot do that. You cannot improve your lie by matting down grass. You can't test the surface kind of thing. You can't do it. But lots of players do it. And they especially do it in deep rough because it gives them a chance to kind of tamp down some grass. Or maybe they'll accidentally take a step right behind the ball. So, oh man, I was just looking for it. There it is. Oh, I found it. Now there's a grass that's tampered down behind the ball. Well, that makes it a whole lot easier to hit it. And, you know, that drew a lot of ire. And that has happened so many times over the years. And probably a lot of times when it's never been caught on camera. And ultimately, Wyndham Clark was not assessed a two-stroke penalty for an improvement of his lie. Brandel Chamblee goes through on the kind of Golf Central show and talks about comparing the ball's position before and after how it was addressed. And the ball clearly moves. Like, you see it move in the highlight. You could see the club go behind the ball, and it moves. And you, as a competitive golfer, you know what he's doing. It's pretty obvious what he's doing. And we'll get to Clark's side of it in a minute. But Chamblee said there should have been a two-stroke penalty. Quote, "I would respectfully disagree with the rules officials and Wyndham Clark. The ball clearly moved." It did. He clearly didn't ground the club lightly. You can ground the club. I'm not saying you can't ground the club. That is, you can ground the club behind the ball. But you can't do it to basically press down. Like, Kenny Perry used to do that. And it would really tick me off. Like, he was one of the most blatant people to do it. And they'd never call anything on it. Anyway, Brandel continues. "I don't need video to see this. I saw it live and I knew the ball moved. I think he should have been penalized." So then Wyndham Clark comes back and goes, "Well, I'm not cheating." And his quote was, "I wasn't trying to cheat or anything like that or improve my lie. I simply put my club down. Obviously, they zoom in and it makes it look worse. We all talked about it. Scotty, Scheffler, the rules official, didn't think it moved. So fortunately, that, as in a penalty, didn't happen. However, it's pretty obvious that the ball moved, and it moved because of the way he put his club head behind the ball in deep grass. And that's really irritating. And the PGA Tour goes out of its way to defend its players. And they're doing it here. They did it here with Clark. Mark Duesbebeck, who's the PGA Tour lead rules official on TV, said he didn't think Clark did anything wrong. He thought it was within the rules. But everyone saw movement. I mean, it was very obvious. And I think that's unfortunate that that's happening. I think there needs to be, and I'm going to call it out here, I think Will Zalatoris' putter needs to be looked at. I'm happy that he is putting well. I'm happy he's found something. But the Lab Golf putter that he is using, the lie angle on it is awfully close at address, as it was meant to be. It was built to being against USGA rules, which is kind of like that 86 to, like, basically you can't make it vertical, right? Because then you would just have a wand and it's almost a very simple pendulum style stroke. Also, the rules of golf say there has to be at least 10 degrees of difference between the line, the angle of the shaft through the stated bottom of the putter and the absolute vertical. And I don't think there's 10 degrees difference. And also, if you sole the putter differently than intended, so in this case, he soles it on the toe, which that is not against the rules to sole it on the toe, but the way he soles it moves the lie angle up. It moves it upright. So he's effectively making it more upright by the way that he soles it. Well, that means then that there actually has to be an even bigger difference because of that dynamic change. And that has not been talked. I know people are talking about it. I know people are angry about it. That's not been addressed by the PGA Tour. Similar situation. And they're not going to do it unless it's so blatant that they have to make it happen. But there should have been a penalty on Clark. Someone should look at Will Zalatoris' putter. Those things happen. And that's unfortunate. But I did want to talk about that for a minute. I thought that should absolutely happen. Now, one more thing I do want to bring up here before we get out of this, and that is a comment, just kind of a passing comment from Steve Stricker, who said that he knows there are some LIV golfers who would like to come back to the PGA Tour. I know we hear from so many of the players that say, oh, I'm happy with my choice. You know, I made my decision. I'm happy with my decision. And that's fine. But I don't think all of them are happy, and I'm pretty sure Kevin Na might be one of them. But Stricker said blatantly, I know that for a fact, as in players want to come back. And it's kind of a wait-and-see game, end quote. And then he followed it up by saying, ultimately, I hope someday we can all play nice together again and have the best players in the world playing, competing against one another. I think that day will come, and I think there will be some circumstances, you know, where those guys that left are going to have to do something. I don't know, a penalty of some sort. I don't know what that means. I hope someday it all comes back together and the guys are all playing together again. End quote. And I don't think that's huge news. I think people knew that kind of anyway, that there were probably some players who were displeased with the contract that they signed, either because they were promised points or that maybe they don't like how it's run, although it seems very professionally run. Maybe they just don't like the facets of the tournament. I don't know. Whatever it is, you know, we all have people speaking out about it, so it's just kind of conjecture, but stuff that I've heard. And the last thing I want to talk about is, and this is more topic too, is the sense of players, a freedom, it feels like an increasing freedom to just say whatever you actually think on the PGA Tour. And I think that is a good thing. I'm not saying this in a pejorative. I think this is a great thing. Players seem more willing to say what they actually think about what the tour is doing now, more than 9 months into this negotiation process, whatever that looks like with the Saudis, to say what they really think and what they think should happen and explain how they feel about the players who went to LIV. Will Zalatoris is one of them. Talked with buddy Garrett Johnston for his Beyond the Clubhouse podcast, and they're not necessarily full bore interviews, with some of them are, but they're conversations with guys, and he did a short video with Will at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and Zalatoris basically said, I've talked to some guys from LIV, I still have friends who run LIV, and I don't think any of that's surprising, and they seem to be happy for the PGA Tour players who are getting this investment from Strategic Sports Group, and that it could be good, and ultimately be good for golf because there's going to be money in the game, and that's the general perspective. But he also said he thinks the best way forward should be a Champions League style of golf, whether that's more under the same umbrella or separate, but to have the best players on the PGA Tour and the best players on LIV compete in a series of tournaments. Maybe that's the fall, whatever it is. All right, fine. We've heard that suggestion a bunch of times. I don't think that's particularly shocking. But it does seem like there are more top players who are now willing to come out and say, I think the tour should have fewer players. Not, you know, but Wyndham Clark threw out the 100 number. I think Rory McIlroy used the term more cutthroat, wants fewer guaranteed cards. He wants the best of the best to compete against one another. And, you know, I don't particularly agree with that. I think you get that from, on the PGA Tour, Bryce Garnett won for the second time at the Puerto Rico Open. I know not a lot of people were watching, but that's a really cool story for a guy who thought with his medical situation that he wasn't even going to be able to play much anymore. Well, now he's in everything. He's in the players this week because he won that tournament. That's great for him. That's a really cool story. We need more of those. And for all of these 100-1, I mean, this was Scottie Scheffler was the first guy who was less than 40-1 to win a PGA Tour event this season. So we've had a lot of guys who are newish stars, new players. That's a good thing to have. And as I've said before, you need them to kind of step up and win again, or otherwise they're one-off types. But in the end, I think that could be a good thing. You don't want to shut those stories down because that's how you build stars. That's how you make your next generation of players, is having a tour where that's possible. And if that's not possible, then that changes the dynamic. And having more players come out and say, you know, we should have fewer guaranteed cards, we should have fewer players in fields, I think that's missing the point. I think that's a misunderstanding. I think it's a misreading of the situation, unless there is much more flux, and that means even among the top players into a tour. Now, if you're telling me there's an all-exempt tour with 100 players or 90 players, then no, I don't want any part of that. If you're telling me the top 30, 40, 50 players are exempt, but then 40 to 50 spots every week are up for grabs, okay, now you have my attention. But I still think, And I mean dynamically week to week, not some random criteria that, you know, if you won 10 years ago, you get in, and you've made 300 starts, you get an exemption this season. None of that stuff. Like, truly dynamic. Okay, now you got my attention. But that's not what they're talking about. And so I find it very strange to have that happening at the same time while you've got someone like Lucas Glover, who's in all of these events because of two incredible weeks last year. And he kind of speaks truth to power, kind of in a way. And he said to Golf Week about these events, about the signature events. Quote, I don't like the idea at all. It's selfish and it's a money grab. Quote, nothing that has happened in the last 2 years of golf, in my opinion, will help the game. I've yet to figure out what's so bad out here that we had to do all the things we've done, end quote. And, I mean, Glover's playing dumb there. He knows what the reality is, that the PGA Tour is trying to save itself by keeping its top players and appeasing them. But I get what he's saying. Why are you having tournaments that you can't fill with 69 players? Why wasn't there a 70th player added? They've talked about wanting to have as many as 78 players in the field for these signature events. They failed to do it, unless they filled it out with other criteria, which, by the way, then got PGA Tour policy board members into events. Shane Lowry, who finished third in this tournament, got in on a sponsor exemption. That there shouldn't be. If you're going to make this the best of the best, how is a sponsor exemption a thing? Tiger gave himself an exemption into his own tournament. Tiger Woods is incredible, but if this is supposed to be the best of the best, with asterisks, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I think there needs to be some kind of kumbaya here between the best players on the PGA Tour and the kind of everybody else, the rank and file, as they've always been called. And if you can bring that together and explain to each other what's going on and how they can still help each other, the rich guys can still be rich and get rich, but the guys that are not in that category yet can still have access to it or better access to it, that's what needs to happen here. I don't think it's less players. I think it's maybe a thinning out. I'm fine with a thinning out, but not a drastic cut that McIlroy might be kind of alluding to. All right, tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit more about the Players' Championship. Obviously, we'll talk about whatever Jay Monahan has to say. And we'll get into the rest of the week which is really just the Players' Championship this week. There's no LPGA Tour event. There's no Champions Tour event. There's no Korn Ferry Tour event. There's no DP World Tour event. There's no LIV event. There's an event in Australia, the National Championship, National Tournament. That's really it. So this is a very short week in terms of the docket, but it's a big one. So we'll get into it with you all throughout the course of the week. Thanks so much for listening. You can get a hold of me, Ryan, at thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy Golf. And we will talk to you tomorrow on Two Off the First.